well, everybody now has been saying, oh, he had a really bad August. No, he's had a really bad 12 years. Mm-hmm. But the difference is he now has an opponent that's shining a light on it. That's the difference. Obviously, it has been a particularly bad, but like you said, there's been a pattern for 12 years mm-hmm. of this type of incompetence.
Yep. Welcome to another Financial Guys podcast with Mike Hayflick and Mike Spiraza. Today, we are extremely pleased to welcome Republican challenger to Mark Poloncarz for Erie County Executive, Chrissy Casilio, live and in studio. Chrissy, welcome and thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I feel a little odd that I'm the only one here not named Mike.
Yeah. Well, that's a problem in our office. There's a lot of problems that between Lomas, Hayflick, Mike Shaver, Mike Zimmer, we dominate the office.
There's a lot of Mikes.
Yeah, that's right.
And we're sorry if you get whiplash because you feel like you're like watching a tennis match here today because
okay.
you're sort of sandwiched between the two of us.
That's okay.
So I knew of your last name at least just from a lot of the business that your family has done. But can you just tell our audience, our listeners, a little bit about yourself? Because I think some might feel like me, like, geez, Chrissy Casilio. Okay, let me start Googling and let me just Google the Casilio name.
Yeah.
And of course, you find things on a very highly successful business that you've had based out of Clarence, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so tell us about yourself.
So I'm actually not involved with the family business. I decided to do my own thing. I have my degree in journalism. I thought I was going to be the next Oprah Winfrey. And although maybe not her. Maybe she's not a good example.
Yeah, she's getting canceled right now.
Yeah, she's getting canceled right now. I don't know.
The pre-cancel Oprah. Okay, I got it.
I have my degree in journalism, and I thought I was going to make a career in that. I had worked with WBEN, and very quickly I learned where the money actually is, and that was in marketing and PR. Mm. So I had the opportunity to switch over, and within my first year of working in marketing at the radio group, I very quickly realized that this was my thing. Fast forward, I have owned Casilio Communications for 10 years. It is a marketing communication agency where clients hire my firm to manage everything for them. All of their marketing, all their communications, internal communications, external communications, we do it all. Hmm. I'm very proud that the business is 10 years old. I've been doing this for 15 years. And my business is actually one of the reasons that opened my eyes to everything that was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why. Do I need to tell you about my family or do we skip that over?
It's up to you.
They're probably really nice people.
They're nice.
We don't want to dismiss them and ignore them.
I didn't want to get too far without acknowledging that I'm married to my high school sweetheart. He is a pharmacist. He is a saint. And I have three small kids, and they're all excited. What's nice is that they're young enough that they don't really know what's going on.
Right.
They just know that they think that mommy's a superhero.
Lots
right now.
Lots of excitement.
The parades, right. I'm going to have to do parades no matter what for the rest of my life for the kids. So I have three small kids. I have a wonderful husband. That aside, my business. One of my clients is a nursing home group. And this is what really was the catalyst in opening my eyes to how things were being run in this community. And I'll tell you why. I have been with them my entire career, before, during, and after COVID. And I knew the numbers from what I do because I'm on the communications team, on the PR team. We work together as a team. There's a handful of us. Mm-hmm. And when Andrew Cuomo had that nursing home order, it was like the Grim Reaper went through the facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And they say once you see it, you can't unsee it. And when that happened, besides that being tragic enough in itself, I saw Mark Poloncarz and Dr. Bernstein, who I call Dr. Overtime,
mm-hmm.
I saw them do absolutely nothing about that. And I felt like I was going insane mm-hmm. because I knew they knew the numbers. I knew that they knew what was going on. And then I knew that they were doing absolutely nothing. And what was astounding to me, I mean, you don't have to be the director of health to know the type of care in nursing homes. It is the most intimate type of care that you mm-hmm. will ever, I mean, you're getting your teeth brushed, You're getting dressed. These residents aren't even getting out of bed unless somebody is physically lifting them out of bed.
And you're getting help in bathroom situations, right? You're getting hugs and compassion and love. These people are angels that work there.
So then, for some reason, at some point, it got, besides the horrible idea from Andrew Cuomo and the state people, then we had our own Erie County leaders, quote-unquote, fail us. And then what bothered me even more than that, so, and I'll give you then another example. So besides the fact that we were giving them the numbers, and I saw they were doing absolutely nothing about it, but, you know, then, so Poloncarz had his daily COVID briefings, and, you know, he yell and scold and talk to us like we were children. And he must have gotten some sort of rush being in that type of position.
A lot of them did. No doubt.
A lot of them did.
Including the former governor.
No doubt. It definitely went to their head. But I remember this one time that, and I'm going to be careful protecting my client, but I remember this one time he was doing his press conference and he was talking about that there was an outbreak in one of the south towns. And he started scolding them and he was threatening to reshut down schools and, you know, putting curfews in place. And I don't even know what at the time. It was like, we're going to go in level C, 3, 4, like blah, blah, blah. And I remember looking at the numbers that he was putting on the screen. And I remember the numbers that we had submitted to the county, and all but maybe one or two was from that facility, from this facility. That facility was having an outbreak at that time, and he never shared that information. He didn't have to name the facility, but there's a different story, completely different story, if you are giving numbers that there's a case and saying, hey, we might have to close down the schools again. All the cases are ages 85 up, and they're all at this one facility. But you're going to close down your schools and close down. It would have told a completely different story if he would have been more transparent of what was going on.
But here's what it's funny, you some of the stuff you said, because Mike and I just did a morning show, and we said the same thing. Like, are we missing something? Where is the data that we're supposed to be seeing that would change our minds? Because I just haven't seen it. Yeah, it's been 3 years. I still don't have any data yet that tells me, Mike, shutting down schools was a great choice. Mike, shutting down the economy was a great choice. Mike, you know, doing whatever was a great choice. The only choice that was actually should have been made was the one they didn't make, which was nursing homes. That was the one they should have made. Don't put sick people back into nursing homes. They did that. Remember, though, that at the same time, they told us that we killed grandma because we didn't get vaccinated or we didn't wear masks. I do want to go to Mark Poloncarz because I think he's a house of cards, obviously. But Mark has had a lot of opinions on a lot of issues. And for the most part, he's been wrong, right? And one thing Mark doesn't do, Chrissy, is say, I made a mistake, I was wrong.
Ever,
right? I've never heard him say that once. My one question before we get into his job performance is, if you're in that position, let's say, and if you're the Erie County executive, you're a governor, you're whatever, and you make a mistake, are you one that would sit there and say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to go to the podium and I'm going to admit my wrongs and I'm going to work on it and get better at what I made the mistake on? Because that's what we have to do. I have to call clients all the time and say, I am sorry. I told you, I just did it last Friday. I told you a number and it was a different number based on this factor. And I had to man up to that and own that. That's what people have to do in business and life and relationships. Is that something you're willing to do if you ever made a mistake?
You have to. You have to. Because similar to me, and this is where my business experience comes in, I'm in the same boat as you. Now, I very rarely make mistakes with my clients. I don't know.
Yeah, I would agree. Doing. I agree. Yeah. But you do, right?
The times that I have, my success is based on job performance, not the single mistakes. It's the overall pictures of, are my clients satisfied with my performance? And what's amazing to me is how, for some reason, that doesn't apply in government.
Ever.
You can mess up time and time again. You can never take accountability. You can never own anything. But you'll get reelected. It's astounding to me. But if I were to if the performance of Mark Poloncarz was happening in a private sector, he would have been fired 11 years and 6 months ago.
Or his business would have closed.
Because people would have been like, no, you're not good at this job. But that's the sad thing is that money speaks. You know, it's tough with incumbents. You're definitely in a position where you have influence and your head gets bigger and bigger and your confidence gets bigger and bigger. And then what happens is that you're no longer serving the people. You're just serving the what do I want to say?
I feel like themselves, like they're serving themselves in their little inner circle. Like I think they're so afraid they're going to let their friends, their family down at the expense of all of us, right? The people that they're really supposed to be caring about.
I will say what I have found, particularly with polling cars, and again, to my earlier statement, once you see it, you can't unsee it. And decisions are being made for climbing the political ladder. Decisions are being mm-hmm. made to appease Albany, appease the federal government, so that he can feel good about going and saying, I have a good relationship with Albany. I have a good relationship with the federal government. But completely ignoring the fact that that relationship is actually causing this community more harm than mm-hmm. good.
Right. Right. And now, I mean, let's bring it up to basically today. We are now hearing reports 52 people that were housed in a Cheektowaga hotel are now being relocated to an Amherst hotel because of a broken sprinkler system. The reporting, and again, we're not there to tell you this is right or wrong, but the reporting is that illegal immigrants were hanging clotheslines off of sprinkler systems, and now you've basically turned that hotel into a mess. It's uninhabitable.
Correct.
Right. So nobody can even be in that hotel now because they have to make repairs. It's not a place that any human being can actually even be in. So now they're going to relocate these people to Amherst. Before that, Republic Steel is going to leave 178 people now seeking jobs. We heard Mark on a Friday afternoon try to justify the what they called the blizzard of 2022 after action review by basically, again, not apologizing and not saying he'd have done anything differently, but by saying, there are some things that have gone wrong of late, but how about this and how about that and how about you give me a break, essentially, right? You
that
forget.
That report was bizarre.
It was bizarre.
It wasn't actually a report. It was just a pile of papers that have been sitting on his desk for 7 months that he just then mm-hmm. made public as if that was supposed to mean anything. But like you said, there was no reflection of, okay, from this report, this is our next step. This is our action. There's nothing.
Nothing.
I mean, yes, he has said things here and there, but at the end of the day, you had 12 years to do even half the mm-hmm. ideas that you were thinking of, and you didn't. You got caught being incompetent again, mm-hmm. and you're just trying to brush it under the carpet.
47 people died, right? 47 people, that's double what happened in the blizzard of 77. I was like 9 years old. The blizzard of 77 had 23 people die. This was double, and you knew days before that this massive storm was coming from the west.
Days
before. And he waits and waits until Christmas Eve, and then he shuts things down. Then he says, oh, we have to shut things down, but by the way, we can't even get emergency vehicles out. So guess what? You're on your own, folks. Like, that's essentially what happened.
And, Mike, I was going to say that, too. The deaths are tragic enough and sad enough that of what happened that day. But then you add into the fact that he told emergency personnel, including police officers, by the way, nobody will be patrolling the streets. That was a legitimate thing that he talked mm-hmm. about during this whole thing. Nobody will be patrolling the streets. They're not going to go out. Okay. Then you have businesses in Buffalo, one of which is a client of mine, get looted. And there's food getting stolen. There's mm-hmm. anything getting stolen from the. Like, you can't have it both ways, right? You can't say, we're going to shut the city down. We're going to shut the counties down. Oh, and then we're also not going to have anybody around to help if somebody's sick or injured or if somebody, his business is open or business is able to be looted. And that's what happened. And he took no responsibility for that either. That to me is just as bad as anything because you essentially told people we're not here to help you at all.
There's another important factor too. It seems like people are forgetting about November 2014 when we lost, I think it was 14 people then. Mm-hmm. How many storms are we going to go through where people are stranded, having to spend the night on the thruway, where people mm-hmm. are dying? I mean, this is Western New York. It's like Florida being caught off guard if there's a hurricane.
Right,
it's
no,
so bizarre.
Right.
How is there not
that's right.
an action plan in place that's just like Florida? I mean, mm-hmm. you go down there, you see the signs for the hurricane routes. They right. have the protocols of this. People know what to do. How is it that we just don't have? Because systems like that need to be in place so that we don't have politicians like Mark Poloncarz mm-hmm. putting commerce over the safety of the people.
Right. And the systems are there. And then you need someone to say, we're activating the system. It's like We are now using this emergency plan.
Correct.
The task force is now out and ready and helping, and but you don't have a guy like him. He
no.
slept through the night when he should have probably the day before, maybe even by 10 o'clock the previous night, said, we are now shutting the thruway. We need everyone off the thruway.
Correct.
While they can get off. I mean, I get so fired up over that. I get fired up over the nursing homes, the assisted living. My mom was in assisted living at the time that all happened. And I thought to myself, great, if you want to have people wear masks, hazmat suits, for God's sake, in nursing homes and assisted living, I'm all for that. The little paper masks are probably not even close to being enough in those places for those very, very vulnerable people. So,
and Mike, real quick, I'll say that. Not even just for COVID, for anything, right? I mean, like
right.
those people, if they got a basic flu or a stomach flu
exactly.
or something, they could pass away, sadly. Like that, their immune systems are so compromised at that age. And when they're in there, like if you're serious about COVID, then be serious about COVID. That's my problem with
right.
all these people. If you're going to get serious, get serious. If not, don't waste our time with it.
Right. And I'm sorry. All I was going to say is, I mean, this all seems to culminate into an idea of patterns of behavior,
yep.
patterns of horrible, horrible job performance behavior. And yet he's still sitting there in office and he still gets a pass by his supporters. Chrissy.
I just wanted to add too, because again, I was in the thick of it. You had your mother, you said there.
Mm-hmm.
I had 19 facilities across New York State where I'm overseeing the communications of it. I'm receiving the messages of the website of people talking to their parents, of people dying. I saw firsthand the people dying. I saw the messages coming in. Mom, we can't see you. We love you.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that also, you know, I can't speak for the rest of the state. I kind of can. But if you look at Erie County, we had the convention center empty. We had our schools, our universities closed down. We had surgery centers not operating.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we needed to put them in nursing homes. And you think you'd have the spine and the leadership to say, we're not putting them in nursing homes. We have these other options. But it was just this blind, like, whatever comes from Albany, that's what we're doing.
Yep.
And that's continuing to happen. It's funny because the Buffalo, well, everybody now has been saying, oh, he had a really bad August. No, he's had a really bad 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference is he now has an opponent that's shining a light on it. That's
right.
That's the difference. Obviously, it has been a particularly bad, but like you said, there's been a pattern for 12 years of this type of incompetence.
Yep.
Here's what I'd say, because I'm going to get into the second part of Mark Poloncarz, himself personally and his attitude and his personal issues. I think you say 12 years, Chrissy, and I agree. He's been here for 12 years and he's been doing certain things for 12 years. But realistically, you only have to look at about the last year, the last 8 months to get a picture of who Mark Poloncarz is. And is this who you want as your leader? Right. And we're going to look at, here we go again, back in January, and that's now coming to light. We have numerous issues with Mark Poloncarz and you know, assault. We have him threatening to shoot a process server. Now we have a relationship issue. Look, you said high school sweetheart. I've been married to my high school sweetheart now for 5 years. I've been together with her for 14. I have never once, even as a college and high school kid, told her she couldn't leave somewhere she didn't want to go or screamed at her outside my home. Yes, do we argue with our spouses? Of course we do.
Sure.
The last thing I do when I argue with my spouse, though, is get in her face. I'm usually like 20 feet away being, you know, we're going back and forth. Nothing ever like what they said. That's what rational, normal people don't do what he just did this week
and
last week.
And they brush it off like it's okay.
Yeah, like
my husband and I, maybe we're the weird ones, we don't even say the F word to each other.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because we set up these boundaries because you have this level of respect and love for each other. And there's no reason to, if you're really that mad, you know, take a break, work it through.
Yep.
It's bizarre. And what's interesting is that since becoming a candidate, it's amazing how once one story comes out, suddenly more people feel comfortable coming forward.
Mm-hmm.
And the story is now starting to pour in. Not necessarily about the personal matter, but just his overall demeanor of now everybody's coming up to me. Yeah, he's been a bully forever.
Yep.
Yeah, that's his personality.
Mm-hmm.
He has a hot head. This and then the stories. I was at a restaurant. He did this. I was here and he did that. Like it's a pattern of behavior. You have to have a certain type of personality type of anger issue to be treating people that way.
No doubt.
And I'll say this, Mike, you and I, you know, have people that we work closely with at this office. You do not want a leader that's like that. Getting angry or upset about things, I have no problem with that. Being irrational and almost crazy is a problem to me, right? Like, again, if Mike Lomas, I'm going to use Mike Lomas as one of the founders of the firm, if I saw him and his wife yelling and screaming at each other and a report came out and said Mike Lomas cornered his wife in the home, of course we would have a conversation with Mike. Would we not, Mike? We'd be like, what's going on here?
No doubt.
That Mike Lomas doesn't do that. Why? Because he's a rational, normal person that understands how to live day by day, right? Same thing with Glenn. Mike, same thing with you. That doesn't happen to normal people. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. That should not happen. And that is a crazy thing when you think about that guy's running a whole county.
Yeah.
Well, and again, the pattern of behavior, and yes, that's a domestic issue. And we talked about shooting the process server, but look at how he lashed out at Hannah Buehler from Channel 7. Look at how he got all angry with Byron Brown. The headlines.
Stefan as well.
Stefan. The headlines of that storm very quickly turned to that spat and how he treated Byron Brown. Name any natural disaster in all of the world where the story was, look at these elected leaders bickering. And there was such a time to shine as the City of Good Neighbors. It was a time for them to say, hey, they did the storm, but look at how they came together. And instead it was this pissing match between how embarrassing.
And I will say Byron Brown didn't really even, I feel like, go back. He was just like, whatever.
I thought he actually handled it well.
He did. Oh, yeah.
Sure. I give him a lot of credit for that.
Yeah. If anything, I mean, you'd say to each other, you know what, we'll do this later. Like, right now, this is what we have to do. We have to figure this out. We have to save people's lives. We've got to put that other stuff aside for now. But to your point, Chrissy, when you see someone behave this way, like if I witness someone be that way, at first I'm thinking, it's like a one-off, bad moment, just happened to me. But when you start hearing story upon story, to your point, it is a behavior. The other thing is, when you get to the point where you are doing that, you are chasing someone down to get your cell phone back, you might, allegedly got physical to get your phone back, and then people are screaming around you. To me, that's a sign, that's evidence that you don't have the capacity to sit back, be patient, and be thoughtful, and actually figure out a better way. And that goes back to job performance, but also personal behavior. If you are flipping out, the first thing you do is flip out, and then you're seeking forgiveness for that. That's a problem, and that's Mark Poloncarz. And if people continue to think, heck, 12 years of this and we want more, like you might have a problem, folks. You might seriously have a problem if you don't think you need to make a change. Let's go to this. I mean, I've seen over the years, you see Lynn Dixon, the last election, loses by about 7 points. Before that, Ray Walter, 2015, he loses by only getting about a third of the vote. How can you win? How can you win against him in a county where you feel like his supporters will just continue to forgive, keep giving him a break, and then here he is in office again?
Yeah, that is undoubtedly something that can't be ignored. I'm not stupid. I know that this is David going after Goliath. I know this is my first time running. I went from 0 to 100. Mm-hmm. I get that. But I also know that I have the leadership, the personality, the demeanor to keep fighting until we cross the finish line. To answer your question in simple terms, I think people are starting to wake up. I think people are fed up. I think they're tired of what's been going on. One of my lines that I've quickly learned from this past month is NIMBA, not in my backyard. So even these diehard loyal Democrats are saying, okay, this has gotten too far. They're starting to realize that they have an elected official that is not putting their best interests first. What I think and hope people will realize is, particularly the Democrats, I have an R next to my name. Yes, I have a C next to my name, for the conservative line. But when it comes to county government and it comes to the task of the county executive, what do you need in that person? What do you need as a leader? And they will hopefully realize that I'm a rational, calm, strong, reasonable leader that has enough experience as a business owner, as a mom, as a community activist, to know how to get things back on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I would say is, to go back to the shooting the processor for a second, I mean to go back to that, but maybe we should, you know, Mark and his pals are very big on taking people's guns away. Maybe we should take Mark's away or look at his mental health history before letting him buy more ammo and firearms, because threatening to shoot people or threatening to assault people is seems like a big deal to me. And every time we see one of these tragic shootings, it's somebody who has done something like Mark has done.
Can I add to that?
Yeah,
though?
Go ahead. Yeah.
So we talk about patterns. Yep. There's the pattern of behavior. Look at the pattern of double standards.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He was always one of the first people to comment. You know, he had no problems, borderline celebrating Matt Azera, am I pronouncing
yep.
it correctly?
Yep.
His letting go, he
yep.
went after Cuomo.
Yep.
He loves talking about Trump, Brett
yep.
Kavanaugh.
Yep.
But then when it came to him, it's like, oh, no,
yep.
they were all wrong, but I'm innocent in this.
Yeah, of course.
You talk about the double standard. Guns, gun control, blah, blah, blah. But I can threaten to shoot people. Mm-hmm. I can have a domestic mm-hmm. violence thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, give up your gun. Red,
yep.
red line.
Yep.
Double standard.
Yep.
Going back to COVID.
Yep.
Everybody's got to mask up. You're shutting down youth sports. You're shutting down the hockey arena. So kids can't play, but you can go in there with your buddies
mm-hmm.
and skate around and then lie about it.
Right. And everybody do what I say and then also get online and I'm going to butcher a Tragically Hip tune. So you're
oh
going to you know, suffer through
yeah.
that, too.
But
thank you, Mark.
If we
you
could
know,
give
like,
you one piece of political advice, I would say, yeah. Mike, I think you would agree with this. Whatever you do, do not pick up a guitar and start taping yourself and put it on YouTube.
Well, I might want to hear her play first
yeah.
before I say don't.
I barely
might...
even know which end to hold up. So,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
it's
do not do that. I promise that's not a good strategy.
Deal.
Well, one thing I could mention, too, I think, and Mike, I'll let you comment on this as well, but I think one thing in this campaign trail, and I know we're getting close, we got a few months left here, but I think it's all, one of the messages to me has to be, don't wait till it's too late. And what do I mean by that? Everybody had no issue with Andrew Cuomo. Now we're here with Kathy Hochul, right? Nobody had a problem with Mark Poloncarz. Now we're here. It's coming to you, right? Whether it's the migrant crisis, whether it's another COVID shutdown, because that is now rumored, right? I don't know about Buffalo or Erie County, but it's rumored across the country. Whether it's whatever, we're going to fix this, we're going to fix that. They're not. And it, just don't wait till it's too late before it comes in your backyard. And as you pointed out 5 minutes ago, it's in your backyard now. Mm-hmm. Everywhere. In Erie County, it's in your backyard. I'm telling you, I'm going to say one more thing, too. I got an email from something on a group that we're in on Grand Island. And they told me in the email, we now have a surge of people trying to come over the Canadian border that are swimming across
yep.
and walking right onto Grand Island. That is my backyard. I'm not going to say where I live, but that is my backyard.
Well,
and that's concerning.
Well, you live at 527. No.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Thank God you were off on that. Now imagine if people show
up. Yeah, people don't know. I have your address right here, Mike.
No,
hang on a second.
Oh, you forgot your
527 Long Road. That is not my address.
So
sorry for the sucker who is.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
So can I want to add about that, too. This might sound odd, but a real leader actually talks to the people on the ground.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I asked out loud, I never got a response, if Mark Poloncarz ever actually talked to a border security person. But I talked to the people that are working the borders, the crossings
mm-hmm.
in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
There are, at one point there was 8,000, it could be less, but there is also a major migrant situation going on in Canada, and mm-hmm. the apprehensions coming in on that side are astronomical.
Mm-hmm.
And these are coming from people that live in Buffalo, that you know work mm-hmm. the Peace Bridge, the Rainbow
mm-hmm.
Bridge, works
mm-hmm.
those bridges, works the waters. I was down in Angola where they have towers up of people swimming over that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I found out too is that besides that, we have had this influx of migrants that have come here by their own means of transportation. So we have the organized buses from Mayor Adams, but you also have people there that were able to get their own money and then getting their own Greyhound
mm-hmm.
bus
mm-hmm.
ticket and coming here. So the numbers and the situation is astronomically higher than
mm-hmm.
what they're trying to make it out to seem. And again, instead of just being transparent about it, because I think that's
mm-hmm.
one of the biggest things that people will notice in my administration compared to the
mm-hmm.
current administration. I've got nothing to hide.
Mm-hmm.
This is your taxpayer dollars. I'm working for you. There's no reason why I can't be and shouldn't be transparent in everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. And they get mad at people like us for questioning things. And it's like, well, because you're not honest, because you hide, and everything has to be so secretive mm-hmm. and so backwards in how they do things. It's gotta stop.
It's infuriating. Let's do a quickie rapid fire. So Mike and I are now going to swear you in. You have won. You are now Erie County Executive tomorrow.
What an honor.
This is going to be fun. This is good. So you get to start tomorrow, and now we have illegal immigrants getting kicked out, essentially, of a Cheektowaga hotel into an Amherst hotel. Just give us a sense of how might you handle something like this.
Well, the problem needs to be reversed immediately. Decisions need to be made that are putting the best interest of Erie County taxpayers first. So what was amazing is that 3 months ago, he said he has no ability to stop this, mm-hmm. and now apparently he can. I've been talking to other county executives that never allowed this to happen in the first place. So we're going to revert back to that.
Okay.
Of having this be the never allowed to happen in the first place.
Okay. COVID yeah. nationally, people are, you know, we're, you know, seeing a pattern again. Let's make people anxious. Let's make them afraid.
Yeah. Wear your mask.
Wear your masks. Yeah. Talking about new vaccines that might become a new national, suggestion. Yeah. But COVID in this area, you mentioned your background being kind of a marketing person for some, some health facilities
yeah.
and having really, I'd say, a very personal view of that situation. COVID in Western New York, you start hearing these stories. What's your remarks to the public tomorrow about COVID and a potential crisis that we might face?
I don't believe in leading with fear. I know that that's a tactic for a lot of our elected leaders, because with fear you can control people. I believe in transparency. I can tell you, in my opinion, there has been more than enough data that shows Mike, mm-hmm. wait, you're both Mike.
Yeah,
both Mike.
yep. Mike's that show that you mentioned, Mike's, yep. Yep. that mm-hmm. there's enough data that showed shutting down schools mm-hmm. was a horrible decision. Mm-hmm. The CDC themselves has admitted that masking doesn't work, especially the paper mm-hmm. masks that mm-hmm. they try to do. So are we going to double down, and instead of owning the mistakes that were made in the past, are we going to mm-hmm. own that and learn from that and make better decisions moving forward? Or are we going to double down and, instead of admitting we were wrong, just do what we did all over again and ruin people's lives? Mm-hmm. There is right now a 90-day wait for early intervention services for kids in school right now, because
Mm-hmm. Yep. I know we're in a mic. Because yep. this is how they had to learn yep. for the mm-hmm. first 2 years of our
right.
their
right.
life.
Yep. Exactly.
We're going to do that again. We're going to, and then, where do we begin on not addressing those issues? Mm-hmm. We're still recovering from the first round. There's no way we're going to do this again.
Yeah, and schools was going to be my next point, but clearly you would not just simply shut down
Never.
And keep people from seeing
each other. Put them in the penalty boxes.
And the teachers they need. No.
And before all the people start going after me saying, oh, you're not putting their safety first, there's data now that mm-hmm. shows there were places that masked, like New York. There were other places that didn't mask, like the Dakotas, like mm-hmm. many other places, and the data shows right. that what the only thing we did was cause further harm. That is the only thing that we did. There's no proof saying that because we put these paper masks and kept mm-hmm. kids home, that the overall picture of our life is better than how it was right. compared to those.
Ignoring those facts, excuse me, Mike.
No,
I'm
you're
sorry.
Good. Yeah, no, you're good.
Ignoring those facts is like ignoring that your house is now on fire and you should actually, get out, or ignoring that the hurricane is now in your neighborhood and you should really find a place to, like, go lay in the bathtub or go in the basement or do whatever you can to save yourself. Ignoring those other facts is similar. It's an absurdity. It's insanity.
Definition of insanity.
Yeah,
doing the same thing over and over and expect different results.
Right.
How is it, if we do that all over again, how are the results going to be different from mm-hmm. any other time?
Right.
Give me a break. But they love having people be fearful. Mm-hmm. They love the power, the control. Again, right. because of my campaign, I've become a confessional to people. Mm-hmm. And besides the double standards, it was amazing how that Department of Health was weaponized.
If that's what you do, though, if you're a confessional now,
yeah.
when I leave, Spiraz has really got a lot to share with you. So
I've got. He's already started.
He's,
you know, we text each other. It's like
we got to figure it out here.
Yeah. No, we're good.
And really, I would say this too on the schools issue. 99.997 I think that's right. No, I'm forgetting a zero. 99.9997% chance of survival with 0 to 19-year-olds from COVID. Yeah. We do not need to lock those kids down.
You have a greater chance of dying in a car crash on your way to school than dying of COVID at school. And again, the whole time, if he would have been transparent with the numbers, because if you look at the numbers, like I saw the numbers in real time, if he would have said, and Cuomo too, by the way, if they would have said the ages and the comorbidities of these people from day one, there would have been a very different tune that people were singing. And people would have been a little bit more vocal at the time of questioning why we're shutting down schools when most, if not all, of the issues were from sick people and elderly people.
And they could have pivoted their attention to where it really needed to be and belonged.
Correct.
Hospitals, nursing homes, assisted living
protecting
centers.
Protecting them.
Protecting people in their own homes that needed help, not just doing the exact same thing day after day after day and neglecting the most vulnerable.
And by the way, sorry to say it again, spoiler alert, by the way, all these kids that were out of school were hanging out with each other outside of school.
Oh,
so just to be clear on that.
Time out.
Yeah.
Our elected officials that were saying don't hang out with each other was actually hanging out with each other. So it's all I'm still also waiting. I don't know if he'll be able to explain this when we debate. But whether it's Cuomo or
Did you say when? Is it happening? Is there actually a debate happening?
I agreed to a debate with Channel 4.
Okay.
So
all right. Right on.
We'll see. But that was also before a lot of the stuff has happened on his side. So, but I would love for him to explain how COVID knew the time of day of when it came and how COVID knew the difference of when you're sitting at a bar, whether you had food with you or not. Because I love that. I love how they just were. And what was even more upsetting is how nobody seemed to really question. I mean, you guys did. But it's like, do you think COVID, because we're not eating a burger with our, I don't like beer, but... For those who like beer, because we're not eating a burger with our beer, that's COVID's going to know how that's going to. What are we doing?
So what are we doing?
Either, like you said, you either do it the right way or you don't. Like, you either close down restaurants because you have to close down restaurants, or you leave it open. But this halvesies, it's like it's just gaslighting. It's making people think you're actually doing something when in reality you're doing absolutely nothing at all to help people.
And I'll say this, where I have one more rapid fire too, Mike, actually, if you have another one too. But I will say on that topic too, I think at the end of the day, what Mark Poloncarz and many elected leaders did was they blindly followed science that was not actually science, because that's what they were told to do. And he will if you ask him that question, I know his response will be, well, Chrissy, how could we have known in the moment? Which is fine when you're talking about March and April.
Correct.
It's not fine when you're talking about September, October, November of the following school year.
Some of these businesses were shut down or at half capacity for two. Can you imagine in your business if I said to you, Mike, you can only have half the clients that you normally have until further? These people's lives were ruined.
Hundred
plus restaurants shut down.
Yep.
And we're supposed to just be like, oh.
And other businesses are still shutting down, by the way.
Correct.
3 years later. Last question I have on the rapid fire session here is for crime and drug abuse.
Yeah.
And those two are very important to me. I think I've told you my story. I lost two brothers to drug-related deaths. Drugs is one of the biggest things for me. That's why I'm so big on the border. What will you do to help fix, because I think you and all of us would agree, the crime problem in Buffalo, New York is getting worse and worse by the hour. So, you know, you see the stolen vehicles with this TikTok challenge, you see all these other things. What are you going to do to fix the crime problem, number one, and then number two, address the massive drug issue that we have in this area? I know you're not a leader of the country right now, but across this area and many areas across the country.
Well, when I'm president of the United States.
There you go.
So... Did you see the article this past weekend that I think Buffalo is now third highest in the country for the Kia thefts?
Rochester's one and Buffalo's three, yes.
I mean, it's astronomical. And again, we'll just keep electing the same people. We'll just keep pretending that everything's okay. The problem goes back to accountability and acknowledging if there is a mistake and then fixing the mistake. That's the first step to fixing a mistake, is acknowledging that there is one.
Right.
And we, again, have elected leaders that are doubling down, and instead of acknowledging that bail reform is a disaster, instead of acknowledging, hey, our soft-on-crime policies are not working. We thought that it would help in the bigger picture, people turn their lives around, but hey, crime's at an all-time high. You have to put the law-abiding citizens first. You have to be tough on crime. Yep. You have to do whatever you can in your power to put a stop to this. Mm-hmm. And that's not happening. What have they done about it?
Nothing.
The very
Nothing.
Opposite seems to be happening. The very opposite.
Cashless bail, baby. Cashless
bail. I hate saying this because I don't want to sound like Kamala Harris.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But so to answer your drug problem, the drug situation too, it also goes back to the root of the problem. Mm-hmm. Why is this happening and what is leading to this? And what are we doing to solve that? And mm-hmm. what is bothering me is that they're putting a Band-Aid on it. I mean, I remember a tweet from Poland Cars not that long ago where he said something along the line of, don't do cocaine alone. I was like, what?
Test it first. Narcan.
Test it first. And they're like, oh, Narcan. It's like, okay, I get just this putting mm-hmm. a Band-Aid on the problem. Yeah. You need to figure out what is compelling people to do drugs to the point where they're needing Narcans. And yeah. they're not addressing... Yeah. these things. So all of those things need to be explored and addressed, but it's no secret that I am pro law enforcement. Mm-hmm. I'm pro safety. What community do you have if you don't have a safe community?
Yep.
Totally agree.
And the last thing I'll say on that is, you know, look at Mike, you and I talk about this. We've talked about, crack vending machines and things of that nature that they do in New York City, you know, and also safe shooting heroin zones as they do here in Buffalo. That absolutely is not the answer. Speaking from experience, I can tell you that funneling drugs into people's noses, mouths, arms, mm-hmm. whatever you're doing, does not fix the addiction problem that they have. It took me a long time to realize this. People have demons,
yep.
and we have to address those demons. I got into a battle on social media yesterday with a former ESPN person, but about all, racism isn't mental health. Yes, we have a lot of sick people in this country. If you are a racist, you are mentally ill. I'm telling you that right now. You should not have an issue with a person's color, a person's hair color, a person's beliefs. If they have beliefs, you should respect those beliefs. If you don't agree with them, walk away. If they're a racist, I have no problem with having an issue with their belief. But my point is, these are issues of mental health. Drug use is an issue of mental health. These people have serious demons, and we have to address those and not just say, let them shoot heroin again. No worries. They'll figure it out at some point. They won't. These people are sick, and they need help.
And it's a trickle-down effect. You know, there is enough data at this point to look at the patterns of the drug users. And besides mm-hmm. mental health issues, you know, there's just other things that lead to this, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's social environments that they end up being in or socioeconomic. Yep. And then we have systems in place, like you said, that encourages
yep.
it.
Yep.
Having these safe zones just lets yep. them know that it's
yep.
okay.
Yep.
The conversation needs to be, you have a bright future ahead of you. There are better ways of doing things and fixing the root of the problem.
Clearly. First, I hope this isn't the last time you join us because we still have lots of time before election day.
Thank
you. The other thing is, Mike and I, you know, we're in sort of the financial industry. I'm a financial planner. Mike, you're in the property and casualty insurance area. Our clients need us, right, for a very specific skill set. And we need them, right, to be in business.
Yep.
Well, here you are with a very good skill set to take over as Erie County Executive. We need you, Chrissy, but
thank you.
But you also need us. You need us to vote for you, and you need our listeners and everyone they know to vote for you. So
and I need donations.
We need donations. Yeah. So let's. Yeah. That's what I was getting to.
Yep.
How can people find out more about you? How can they help you? How can they support you on the ground or at maybe with their pocketbooks?
So the pocketbook could make or break the success of this campaign because obviously we have the issues there. Obviously, you know, he's had enough mess ups mm-hmm. now that people are aware of. It's getting that message out and letting people know, hey, this is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So donations are huge. You can find all the information you'd ever need about me, about the campaign, how to volunteer, how to donate on the campaign website, which is CasilioForCountyExecutive.com.
Can you spell your last name just in case people need that there?
Yes.
Yes.
It's Italian.
I know how to spell it. As another Italian person
yep.
on the set, I know. I got you.
CASILIO. Four, so not the number four, mm-hmm. but FOR,
yep.
countyexecutive.com.
Perfect.
And there's
awesome.
Everything. And you can also find me on all the social media platforms, too. So find my campaign on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all those fun things.
Awesome. Mike, you got anything else?
I think I'm all good. We've talked a lot this morning.
This has been great, really, to get to know you.
This is good.
Thank you.
So you found us here in our studio.
Yeah.
And, you know, this really, folks, I don't know. I don't know how you can make this even more important than what it already is. I mean, I don't know what we can do. What can we do? We always get down to this, Mike. We can vote. We can vote the people in office, out of office. And that's what we need to do. So, Casilio4countyexecutive.com. Please, folks, find out more about Chrissy. Talk to her team. Maybe you can help. I'm sure you need help. You need supporters. You
need volunteers. We need boots on the ground. You also can sign up for a lawn sign through the website. We have those rolling out. It's been huge. I will say, given that this is my first time, the response has been unbelievable. And I'm so honored to even be in this position.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm elected, it will be such an honor to serve the people of Erie County. And I'm looking forward to it.
We've really enjoyed your approach so far. You are just taking it head on. You're not hiding. You're not scurrying away from the tough decision making or the obstacles that you might have. Like, you're going full steam ahead, and we're in full support of you.
You're not threatening to shoot people. It's very good.
You've
done a nice job.
That's refreshing, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know that you're going to be doing like a confessional for Spirazza now, so we better wrap.
Yep.
He's got lots on his mind, lots on his conscience.
I will say this, too. To use a little Trump word here, you know, make Erie County great again. I mean that actually serious, right? I mean, we have to vote better and vote that our future depends on it. And it does right now, right? We cannot do four more years of Joe Biden. We cannot do four more years of Mark Poloncarz. We have to vote better, and we have to bring people in that actually care about us. So that's my last message today.
No
Get
doubt.
Out and vote.
Thank
and
you.
Vote better.
Awesome. So, folks, that'll do it. We appreciate you tuning in, as always. We appreciate Chrissy Casilio for joining us here in studio. The Republican challenger to Mark Poloncarz for Erie County Executive. Folks, get out and vote. Vote for change. Vote for Chrissy. This is getting ridiculous. It's right before our very eyes. We cannot let this continue to happen. We need Chrissy Casilio to be the Erie County Executive. So let's make it happen, folks. Get out and vote. For Mike Spirazza, I'm Mike Hayflick. Please join us again next week.
Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.